Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Inside Boxing Live. I am your host, Dan Canobio. Thank you so much for joining us here for the next 30 minutes. And we have a different type of show planned for you today. Joining us on the program, Yahoo Sports' Kevin Ioli. He recently wrote a column about the demise or the downfall of boxing and what is contributing to that. It elicited a lot of responses. So I had Kevin on and we kind of had a little bit of a debate from a younger perspective to what he has experienced over the last 30 plus years covering the sport. If you're watching us over on YouTube at CompuBox TV, thank you very much. You can also catch us on Apple Podcasts by simply searching Inside Boxing Live. And every single Friday night, you can catch this show on the Fubo Sports Network, 7:30 p.m. ET. 7 o'clock ET. Calm down, Nick. Over on the Fubo Sports Network. A lot of fights this weekend. I'm going to get to Anthony Joshua and Kubrat Pulev first. On the other side of Ioli, we will talk about the other fights this week. But I want to talk about Anthony Joshua. Which Anthony Joshua will show up versus Kubrat Pulev? I thought that the version of Anthony Joshua we saw in the Ruiz rematch was fighting to survive rather than to win. To me, you can't win in the heavyweight division with that type of approach. What has happened to the seek and destroy, the aggressive Anthony Joshua? In his 11 fights before Klitschko, he was throwing power shots 57% of the time. Now, fast forward to today, it's completely switched. He's throwing jabs 63% of the time. Anthony Joshua, the heavyweight champion of the world, 63% of his punch output are jabs. I don't think you can win in the division that way. I understand jabs are the most important punch in boxing. But in the heavyweight division, and if you're worried about your chin, like Anthony Joshua seems to be worried with, maybe you should go out there and seek and destroy before your opponent does. There isn't a lot of buzz around this fight. There isn't a lot of buzz around Anthony Joshua. That can all change on Saturday with an emphatic KO that I think he needs heading into 2021 and those fights with Tyson Fury. On the other side of things, we're going to talk to Yahoo Sports' Kevin Ioli about the health, or lack thereof, of boxing. Our next interview is brought to you by Bully Crew CBD. 5-star rated. It comes in oils. It comes in creams. It comes in gummies. I use them before and after I work out. It's perfect for the active person. You can take it as a gummy. Don't drink the cream, whatever you do. Put the cream on you. You can take it in an oil form. It's great. I love CBD and I love Bully Crew. Type in IBL for 20% off. It's Bully Crew CBD. All right, let's bring in our guest this week. You know him as the combat sports writer for Yahoo Sports. Kevin Ioli covers both MMA and boxing. And this is going to be a little non-traditional, Kev. Not the normal interviews I usually do. I want to have more of a debate because you wrote an article or a column last week titled Errol Spence, Terrence Crawford joined cast of thousands contributing to boxing's fall from grace. Now, there was some things in that story that I agree with. There were a lot of things that I disagree with. First off, how you doing? How's the golf game before we get into our sparring match?
I'm a little worried here, but I'm doing great. And, golfing is doing well. Loving the fact that it's a mild winter, so you can play all the way throughout. And you know what? I wanted to bring up some points in that column that make people think. I know you know this. I've loved boxing all my life, and I fear for what's going on, and I want to see some positive change happen. And so, that's why I wrote what I did.
Yeah, the first thing I want to get to is just like the timing of it. It came off the heels of the Spence Garcia fight. And what was exactly that kind of triggered you to write this story? I saw that it was sent out, pretty much maybe an hour or two after the fight had ended. Post fight column, yeah. So what exactly triggered it for you?
Yeah, what happened was, let's go into the broadcast, and they're ignoring Crawford. And, you know, a lot of people are defending that. And they're going, well, why should Heyman give Aram airtime? It's making the sport better. Like, in other words, all these promoters, all they care about is their own little fiefdoms, and their own little fiefdoms are all small and insignificant. Build the sport up. Make the sport bigger. Make the sport better. And so, you know, talk about Terrence Crawford and talk about what a great fight it would be with Errol Spence. Now then, as I thought about that, they largely ignore him on the broadcast. And in the post-fight, Jordan Hardy doesn't specifically mention Crawford. Spence basically says, yeah, I'm going to go on my ranch. He won't mention any names. And that brought me back to Las Vegas when Crawford fought Kell Brook. I'm in the locker room with him, and he was asked about calling out Errol Spence. And he said, no, that's y'all's job. That's not my job. I go, wait a minute. So it's my job to make money for you? You know, I mean, and so we have been, and I said to him, hey, we've been calling for that fight. I've been calling it for more than a year. And so it just, decided to write the column because I said, here we are with a fight, maybe the one fight other than Fury and Joshua that would do huge business. And they're messing it up by saying they don't want to make it happen. Right. And so that prompted me at that point to say, I got to talk about some of these issues that lead to this kind of behavior.
Valid point. They did, in fact, show Crawford, though. The first set of graphics didn't have Crawford on it. Then I don't know what happened, but then all of a sudden they're showing him in the crowd. They're now mentioning him in the graphics. So they did acknowledge Crawford more than they ever have. But yes, obviously, I think it's kind of like an isolated thing where these two guys, neither of them are too concerned about promoting themselves. Neither guy has shown I'm the 60-40, you're the. It's just been a point where, yes, it is a problem in terms of them not pushing for the fight or not acknowledging each other. But I did think that Fox did show Crawford or is making the pitch. But who knows whether that will all happen. I do think that Jordan Plant should have asked a follow-up there, or at least brought up the name of Crawford. But let's go down the list a little bit of some of the other things. You put in here that, you know, you used the gauge of Muhammad Ali in 1978 with his 93 million people that tuned in to watch him versus Spinks. Is that really a fair gauge to use, considering in 1978 there were about 3 to 5 networks that you had to choose from? There wasn't Netflix, there wasn't podcasts, there wasn't other forms of entertainment. Isn't that kind of like the really, really highway or an unfair gauge for today's boxing?
I understand that, you know, we're in a different universe right now, but we also have a lot more people, right? I mean, we were in the low 200s in those days. Now we're over 300 million people. But I wasn't trying to compare, you know, hey, look, Muhammad Ali would draw, if he was in his prime fighting now, you know, a huge number now. But the point I was making was where boxing was and where boxing is. And it's kind of taken, you know, it doesn't have the significance that it had. And, you know, when I grew up, like, so in the 70s, when Ali was fighting, the NBA, which is huge now, their playoff games were on tape delay at 11:30 at night. You couldn't even watch an NBA playoff game live unless you're in a market, right? That team's market. But they were on tape delay at 11:30 at night, and boxing was in prime time. And so I was trying to make the point there that, hey, look, this is where boxing has gone. You know, we were at the mountaintop at one point, and now here we are where we're on, you know, we're putting our best fights on pay-per-view. The fights that people want to see are not being readily made. Promoters don't want to work with each other, et cetera, et cetera. So I was making a point to, hey, it's not always been like this, and I could have pulled anything out, but I was trying to make the argument that, hey, we're in a situation here where the public needs to know about these fighters. And at one point they did. That's why 93 million people tuned in to see Ali. And we're never going to get that again, but we can certainly get a lot better ratings than we get now.
Outside of football, because of the gambling aspect, the fantasy football of it, a lot of sports are going through problems right now. Like, you brought up the NBA, back the problems that they had when they first started, but not a lot of people actually watch an 82-game season. Look at the Major League Baseball. They're going through issues getting people to younger crowd to watch. You know, the NHL has been, I know you're a big NHL fan, but they are a niche sport just like boxing is. So I don't think it's just boxing that is suffering from a dip in viewership. I think it's an all sports thing. But for when a boxing guy writes about about it like that. And I almost expect these articles from like a Dylan Hernandez, that guy who writes for LA Times, who wrote the 3,800th Boxing is Dead story. But when you see it come from a guy who covers the sport, you know, it's almost like, come on, man. Like, where's it coming from?
It's important to note this. I'm not saying boxing is dead. And I mentioned in that article, there's a lot of good things happening in boxing. But here's the problem that we get. Each year, it degrades, right, if you keep letting it degrade. And you're talking about TV ratings as if TV ratings were the only thing. But, you know, let's look at UFC, right? I wrote an article on this, and, you know, ESPN retweeted it, so they obviously know UFC ratings are up. Right. UFC ratings are up for the large part. You know, their pay-per-view numbers are up. They've done over 1 million on pay-per-view a couple times since the pandemic.
What about their last pay-per-view?
I don't have a number on that one. I'm sure that didn't do very good. And I'm sure this one.
That's the thing, though. I never see, like, I'm not singling you out, but I never see, you know, it's almost like when they put on a pay-per-view a month almost. And this last one, I looked it up, 255. It didn't understand how that was a pay-per-view, didn't recognize any of the names. I'm not the biggest UFC guy, but the fact that, like, I never see that reporting, and that probably tanked.
Well, they don't, you know, so it used to be we could get the, you know, some of the pay-per-view numbers for UFC. Since they went to ESPN, the pay-per-views are all controlled by ESPN. So ESPN is the only one that knows what the information is. And of course, you know, Dana White and people at UFC, but nobody else outside. Whereas when you're on, like, say, Spence Garcia, there's outside forces. Now, it's getting harder and harder. You notice there hasn't been numbers put out on Spence Garcia, because what's happening when you get the digital realm, that's taken the satellite operators and the cable operators out of that. And that's one less group of people who know what the numbers are. Mm-hmm. So when the fewer people that have the information, the harder it is to get out. Mm-hmm. So that's basically, since ESPN has come in 2019 with UFC, that information source has really dried up, and it's hard to get those numbers. So we don't, you know, I could make stuff up, you know, and I have a pretty good estimate of what it is, but, like, I won't do that. I want to make sure that if I say it did a number, it did that number. And that's kind of where, it's probably not a satisfying explanation, but it's the truth.
Yeah, don't make stuff up, because then you're no better than Rick Glaser on Facebook. going back to UFC, I'm glad you brought it up. I read some things that, you know, that they're going through their cuts, you know, over 70 cuts, and you also have heard rumblings that a reason why a lot of these main events are falling out is because some of their COVID-19 regulations aren't up to snuff, or they are, or it seems like they are a little lax with that. Is that something that you have heard, or will you report on that?
Incorrect. So I've been in both bubbles on both sides. I've done in both. What they have done has been, I think, remarkable with their COVID. So, like, let's look at baseball or the NFL, you know, now that you're seeing. So COVID is so prevalent in our society now that you're going to get positive tests. But what you want to do is you want to avoid having it spread to everybody on the event, right? You want to make sure that the people who, you know, are at that event are not all getting it. So, like, on the football, we had the Ravens just recently playing. You know, I know because I'm a Steelers fan. The Ravens had all, you know, what they have, 36 guys active. So they had 18 or so people that, you know, had contracted COVID. It just spread and spread like wildfire on their thing. What happens on UFC, if one person gets it, they yank them, and they have a scenario where they have a COVID hotel. They have three separate hotels, one for the fighters and their teams, one for the media and the staff, and then a empty hotel that when somebody gets COVID, they get shoved into that hotel. Okay. Until they're able to travel and able to leave. And so they've done a great job of that. They have not allowed that to spread, where you have not seen one card canceled because they've had COVID. Now, of course, you know, people get and test positive and are out. And so that, you know, that affects a specific card and what you may consider, or what a fan may consider, the strength of a given card or not. But they're not losing, you know, 15 people from one team like the Baltimore Ravens did. And they're not having to cancel cards or postpone cards because of how many COVID tests they have. They've done a phenomenal job at it. Not a poor job.
Okay. All right. I'm just wondering why, you know, they are losing fights. They're cutting fighters. So hopefully.
Well, I'll tell you why they're cutting. They have a roster of over 600 fighters. Mm-hmm. And normally they trim that, you know, by a couple every month. You know, guys lose two or three in a row, they cut them and they bring somebody else in. when the pandemic started, they largely eliminated that. Mm-hmm. They've had a cut here and there, but they largely eliminated cutting any fighters. So this is a process that, had they just been doing their normal 6, 8, 10 like they normally had been doing, so they got a little bloated. Their company got up, were over 600 some fighters. They didn't need that many, and they have by contract they have to offer these fighters so many fights a year. So they were in a position where they couldn't really do that. So they started cutting the fighters that they felt like, weren't fit.
You wrote a second column the next day about the exhibitions and the Tyson Jones promotion, and now the Logan Paul versus Floyd Mayweather super exhibition that we're getting in February. And you also had tweeted that you thought that the Tyson Jones promotion was one of the worst you had ever seen.
Yeah.
But then in turn, they got 1.5 million people to buy the pay-per-view, and I thought it was a tremendous success. But it made me go and look at some of the metrics and do a little research. And I think the reason why you didn't exactly, in your eyes, you didn't see a lot of ads, because I don't think they were targeting your demographic. And I took a look even deeper, and my man Jay Chaudhry, who does great work with the metrics, sent me some information as well. Is they went out and they hired 100 plus of the best YouTube influencers and did a grassroots, advertising that way. Like, where the market is going is towards of that, where you're getting these influencers speaking about the fight, talking about Tyson Jones, talking about Jake Paul, organically and fitting it into their platforms with their subscribers. And I think that now is the future of what we can see happen in boxing. As boxing is driven by superstars, Ryan Garcia has mastered it. The Charlo brothers have a YouTube page that is in partnership with Showtime. We're seeing more and more of these young fighters, try to understand this. And that's, I also think this, it's helped the YouTube, with these YouTube guys coming in and seeing how they market. How come Jake Paul is making this amount of money?
So let me respond to that. I think it's great, but let's go back to my initial comment. So they want media to cover the fight. Mm-hmm. I never heard. I applied. I had a PR person tell me, "Yeah, I'll call you tomorrow." Never call back. I want to talk to Mike. I want to talk to Roy. Never hear back. And a lot of people had this, right? So obviously they want us to cover it, but they're not interested in working with us to facilitate it happening. I think it's great what they did, and I praise them after the fact. But you have to take the facts as they stand at each given time. And when I tweeted what I tweeted, I stand by what I tweeted. I mean, hey, it could have been bigger. Like let's not get out there and think that this was some genius promotion by them. This was popularity of Mike Tyson. And Mike Tyson was built a long time ago, and the public was out there saying, we want to see Mike Tyson, and it was a huge name. And if Mike Tyson were in the Mayweather era, when we have so many homes, Tyson would be the all-time pay-per-view king. He came before Mayweather when there was less homes, and so Mayweather was able to surpass him. But I think, when they put the Paul brothers on those DAZN cards, I wrote a column saying, hey, if this brings more people to boxing, I'm into it. But what have we found out? Are we making boxing fans out of these Jake Paul fans that are out there? They're, from what I understand, they're 15, 16-year-old girls, 12-year-old girls. There's not people that are going to then say, hey, guess what? There's a fight on Showbox.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's two different things.
Is that really helping boxing?
No, it isn't. I think that's a separate discussion, like two different lanes. Like, no one is buying who is buying the Errol Spence pay-per-view is not buying the Logan Paul pay-per-view, and vice versa. That's why I don't think it's good for boxing. I don't think it's bad for boxing. I think it's a totally different lane. If you want to watch a side sport or a spectacle, go ahead. If you want to watch real boxing, go ahead. I think you should be able to differentiate the two. But going back to the promotion of with Tyson Jones, they said that they maybe have promised you that they would, you talked to Roy Jones. Were you more upset that you didn't get an interview and you thought that maybe it was a bad promotion?
I got him on my own. I just think it's a bad thing. Like, in other words, and it's and not just myself, like a lot of, if you saw all the major boxing writers were saying the same thing. Of course, I was the one that had the courage to tweet it out first, and everybody goes, yeah, me too, me too, me too. Dan Rayfield did, Manu Kakopian did, Greg Bishop did, a ton of people. Mm-hmm. But forgetting that, it wasn't just that I didn't get an interview. It's like you're trying to get the information out there to the public that this event is going on. What are the rules? We didn't know the rules. And even 2 days before the fight, I'm getting texted, oh, here, this is what the rules are. And I'm like, no, I just talked to the California Athletic Commission. They're not it. And the guy said to me, well, that's because California is not in charge of the fight. I said, so then I called Andy Foster. I hear you're not in charge of the fight. Yes, I am in charge of the fight. Then they put a retraction out. So the public is expected to buy this, and the public doesn't even know what the hell the fight is going to be.
Well, they bought it.
That's right. So you're asking the people to pay $50 and during a pandemic when not a lot of people have money, and what is it going to be? They should at least know what it is. If it's going to be a real fight, great. If it's going to be sparring, great. But tell the people the truth. And they weren't doing that. And so I called them on it.
Yeah.
And then I talked to the CEO, or not the CEO, the owner of Triller on Sunday. And he told me, he thanked me for calling them on that stuff. And he said that it helped them.
Hmm.
And, you know, he blamed somebody else for all that. He didn't
Shocking.
Take the blame. Yeah, and he passed it on to some other group. But he thanked me. So, you know, I feel comfortable with what I did because okay. as a professional who's had experience, I called them on a lot of craziness that they were doing. And then when they did well, and the night of the fight, I tweeted out, hey, this is fun. I'm enjoying the show. They're doing a good show. And then I wrote that afterwards, you know.
Right.
So I didn't have pride to say, well, I had this opinion here. I take every opinion I make and I take it to that situation at that given time.
Right. Now, yeah, okay. I know what you're saying, but I think that my point was, the point I was trying to make was that I think that these companies are finding different ways to promote that aren't the standard ways. Like, we're not going to see Tyson, we're not going to see fights on taxis or billboards. They're going to go with this influencer route, and I think that the next generation of fighters, you know, the Ryan Garcias, the Tank Davises, who are wildly popular are going to go that route. And I think boxing's on the upswing. I don't exactly think that it's in the greatest of health, but I also don't think it's as dire as some people say that it is. Kevin, I wish we had more time. We're gonna have to pick this up on the golf course, I guess, maybe one day. But I appreciate you, you writing these stories because it makes people think and it makes people have these discussions, and they're always gonna happen. Boxing is one of the most controversial sports. It's a sport that everyone likes to discuss. What did Larry Merchant say? You can't kill it and you can't save it, right?
I love it. You know what? I love it. And my whole thing was I wanted to point out we need to see these fights. We need to get these things done. And so I wanted to make the point to put pressure on everybody in boxing to do the right thing and to think beyond your own short-term self-interest to the best of boxing. And sometimes when you love your kid, you discipline your kid. And I have been in love with boxing since I was 5 years old, and I saw Sugar Ray Robinson fight in person. And I will love boxing until they put me 6 feet under and I'm gone. So I just want it to be better, and I want other people to see what you and I see and how much we love it. And I think sometimes you have to point out the problems to get the good stuff. And that was all, my whole thing.
Appreciate the time, Kevin. We'll catch you again next time.
Be well, brother. Thank you.
These are the rest of the fights for this weekend. I'm going to give it to you in bullet points. Shakur Stevenson going up against Toka Khan Clary, a main event on ESPN. Defensive wizard Stevenson. He's held his opponents to 3 connects or fewer in 20 of his 71 career rounds. Over to Felix Verdejo versus Masayoshi Nakatani. Verdejo, don't be surprised to see him in there with Teofimo this summer. Nakatani hasn't fought since that fight in 2019 against Teofimo. A lot of ring rust there. Edgar Berlanga versus Ulysses Sierra. Now, 9 of Edgar Berlanga's 15 first-round knockouts have come within the first 90 seconds, don't blink in this one. Clay the God Collard going up against Quincy Lavelas. This is a rematch to their 2019 draw. Clay is going for 6-0 in 2020. He's outlanded his 5 2020 opponents, better than 3-1. What a year for Clay the God. Chris Colbert over on Showtime fighting in a main event against Jaime Arboleda. Needs to be start mentioned as one of the best young fighters in boxing, you know, in the same breath as Tank and all those guys. He intrigues me. This show intrigued me. We'll see you next week. We'll break down the fights, and we'll also look to Canelo Fight Week. He's fighting Smith over in Texas. We'll see you next week, another edition of Inside Boxing Live.